What's up, everybody? CTP here, and this is Talking Depth, the after show for Full Depth, which just launched on barbellshrug.com. This week's episode is Food in Focus. We're kind of highlighting what we do here in Memphis, Tennessee, where Barbell Shrug was birthed. Birthed? That's a rough word. Anyway, go watch that first and then listen to this.
We did four. Oh well.
Welcome back to
Talking Depth.
Welcome back to Talk. What up? It's your boy CTP, and welcome back to the show where we talk about the show you just should have watched on barbellshrug.com. Full Depth just aired today, and today was about
Food in Focus in Memphis, right?
That is very correct. That is very correct. And we have Alex Macklin.
Yo.
That's him. And we have Shireen.
Rena Bedina.
What's up?
Benz. I always want to call you by your maiden name.
That's all right. Not going to work.
Shireen, who are you, just for folks?
Who are you?
I'm your background person.
You're the person who needs to pull your mic closer to your mouth.
Sorry.
You pretty much should be tasting it. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God. That's like really close. Yeah. Like that?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Shireen, what do you do for Barbell Shrugged?
In a single word, operations.
Okay.
So I make sure you get your stuff when you sign up for a program.
Shireen basically is also our mom, kind of. She keeps us all in line.
I am Barbell Shrugged's mom.
in an awesome way.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what you should say to your mom, right?
Hey-o.
She keeps our shit together and everything that, like you said, everything that goes out. Make sure you get that shit. So,
Well, like I said, this is Talking Depth, which is you need to go watch Full Depth. So we're just going to talk about that, which aired exclusively on barbellshrug.com or on our YouTube channel. Go check it out and then listen to this. So if you haven't heard that, go watch that first.
Where do we start?
Yeah, where do we start? So the episode started with us kind of reminiscing.
Where were y'all at? In a coffee shop, right?
Coffee shop. Yep, that's where Mike and Chris would meet up and do kind of trial runs when we first kind of had the idea. It was like, okay, well, just go get a mic and let's just see what happens. Mm-hmm. Can we talk? And they would give me those, and I was still delivering pizzas at the time, and I would download them on my phone, and instead of listening to Rogan, I'd pop on the – I think they did three or four that they sent me. And instead of listening to that, I'd drive around for an hour or two, listen to whatever the fuck they were talking about, and I liked it. I was like, man, I'm down.
Do we still have those?
I think there's an old – Chris Moore has an old laptop that I think had him on there. Or Mike, but it's in possession of Chris. So. And if you're just not listening to this and you have not heard the news, Chris passed away almost a month ago now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still getting people who, like, will post on comments and stuff and, like, oh, I didn't know. You know,
yeah.
Everybody's not just on social all the time. So
right.
It was really cool to see him again
on this
episode. And I'm sure we'll go into that some more. But, yeah, I think he has it on a laptop, so we'll have to see if Janie has that laptop.
Yeah, we should probably – I never heard of him. I think I heard one driving to Johnson City, Tennessee. I think that was, like, the first one.
I don't know, because from there, we kind of didn't talk about this, but from there, they did those, and then that's when I was like, yes, I like this. There's something here.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep this going, and I wanted to start upping production value and stuff. And then from there, we went – I was like, well, let's do it Ustream style, which is just a live streaming website where you can record audio and video with a webcam. We did a couple of those, and they were terrible. Shireen, you remember coming in.
I busted in with Taco Bell. We were drunk.
All the girls came, and we were like, it was like 1 in the morning, us just playing around, and they busted in with Taco Bell, all the chicks.
Nice. So what was kind of the rationale, like, doing this particular episode?
We were just wanting to kind of show, you know, because, well, we all lived in California at the time. I've since moved back to Memphis. Chris had moved. He was moving back from California, and then he was going to move to Amsterdam. That's where he was. So we were just kind of like shedding some light. We wanted to show how we all came together. So, and that was here, Memphis. Me, Mike, and Chris are all from here, and then Doug moved here for college. But we all met at the University of Memphis. We all went through the same exercise sports science program. Chris and Doug have masters, and then me and Mike are just bachelors. But so they all went to school together, and that's how they met. And then I came through the same program years later, like 3 or 4 years later. So I didn't have classes with them. But anyway, we wanted to just kind of highlight that. A part that we kind of edited out that you never saw, you saw some clips, but you didn't get the actual interview, was with Dr. Brian Schilling. He's been on the show before. That's Leslie Schilling, who's in the episode. It's her husband.
Her husband, yeah.
And we filmed a whole bit, but as it turns out, like, we're going to show how he was our professor, and he kind of connected the dots for us and got those guys into Olympic weightlifting. If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have gotten into Olympic weightlifting probably.
They probably would have never met each other.
Yeah. Right. Probably, because that's how they met. Yeah.
Right.
And so if it wasn't for Brian, I don't know if we'd all be here.
But Godfather.
Yeah. So we wanted to showcase him and tell that story, but we're going to do that by being at the University of Memphis in our old training room. And we did that. But as it turns out, Brian was like in the midst of like leaving the University of Memphis, and he's since got a new job in Las Vegas.
Hey, and it's a great job. It's a huge step up for him. I mean,
more
it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yep. So it was just kind of became a little weird to have all that included talking about the program. And so we decided to leave it out. But mad props to Brian, because none of this would probably happen without him. So,
yeah.
I don't know why I was answering that.
I was asking why you came back to do this episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So we wanted to showcase Memphis.
The roots, man. You wanted to get the roots out. Because the story of how the podcast got started, I mean, that's a great story. It'll make a great story. I think one day it'll go in a tell-all book or something like that.
For sure. And this is still where a lot of the team lives.
Like, yeah,
there's a
that's
good
true.
Chunk of the Barbell Shrug team. You know, you see the coaches, you see the people on the podcast, and there's people who do stuff behind the scenes as well. We are fairly spread out, but a good chunk of us live in Memphis. This is our home. This is where Barbell Shrug started.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, yeah. And then, let's see, we jumped to the episode, jumped to talking with Dr. Schilling's wife, Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who is a, what would you call her? She's a nutritionist.
Psychologist, nutritionist.
Okay.
I mean, she's a nutrition expert. She's,
right.
Dietitian.
Registered dietitian. Is she a registered dietitian?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So
yeah.
She worked for the Grizz.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies NBA team.
Yeah, she had her own practice here in Memphis, and she saw clients. They would come in wanting nutrition advice, nutrition counseling, and she was able to provide that to them.
Yeah.
And she has just this really great philosophy on not only how to change your eating habits, but how to change your relationship with food.
Yeah.
I think that's like the most important thing that she is able to explain very clearly in this episode is changing your mental relationship with food, not necessarily if you have an eating disorder or not. I mean, that's certainly a mental issue with food, but having a better relationship with what you're eating, why you're eating it, how you're eating it really is I think what this episode gets across.
Yeah. Oh, I love her. She came and did a little presentation for the coaches at Barbell Shrugged, and we had her just on a conference call, and she gave a whole talk about food behavior and building a relationship with food. And a lot of the things that she said on the show, you've got to go. I'm going to butcher it because she said so many good things, but you've got to go actually watch it and listen to what she has to say, because a lot of things of what she has to say, I don't think a lot of people are in tune with, especially in our community as in fitness and
like
in
what?
Just the healthy the relationships with food and having such a sometimes like very very negative one of the things you said, if I were to ask somebody to change their diet, like what kind of reaction would that take? What kind of reaction would you feel with that? And I feel I've observed a lot of people, you know, when trying to suggest that they do things differently with their nutrition, they're like, ooh, what's gonna happen? I'm gonna get fat again. It's this big big emotional distress response that's come from this notion and surrounding food. And I think that's a big, big thing in our community.
Yeah, and there's just pointing out that there's just more to it. Like she said on the show, like if it was just eat less, train more, then we'd all have
we'd all be fit. But that's such a great quote.
There's so much psychology that goes about around it, especially, you know, how did you grow up? How were you raised to eat?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many variables in your nutrition. Like there's no one size fits all. There's no magic pill. Hydroxycut isn't going to cut it, right? You know, there's nothing. And I think there's another thing she brought up was about supplements and not taking a supplement isn't going to fix your nutrition. It's just something, I mean, that's supplement is the definition of adding to, right?
Yeah.
You're supplementing.
Yeah.
And what I like about the episode is she doesn't necessarily, I love science, don't get me wrong. I like the background and what goes into like eating calories and proteins, fats, carbohydrates, the macronutrients, everything like that. But she doesn't so much go into that as she goes more into the psychology behind
it. The psychology behind it, yeah.
Which is why I like how you put it. I mean, she's kind of a nutrition psychologist in a way.
Yeah, and the psychology thing is a huge component that not a lot of, you know, I see a lot of stuff out there, you know, you can do these diets, you can do these meal plans, but they don't address the psychology part. And I think in the episode, they talk about how people being on diets for so long and then that leading to some eating disorders, like compulsive eating disorders, which is apparently now an actual
binge eating disorder.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm talking like it would be extreme. Like, I can't remember if she mentioned it, but like the kind of like the person who wouldn't like be social anymore because of just how I ate. Like, dude, it was bad. Like,
people would invite you out to eat. Like, that's part of having an eating disorder. People don't want to be around
I wouldn't even
you.
Accept an invite. Like, man, I would just, man, dude, that I would do was crazy.
Yeah, she said in the episode if you have a if you shy away from social environments because of food, I mean that's a big red flag. But what I was saying is that you know, with people who have been on diets and stuff and they can't stick to a diet, you know, they say that, oh, I don't have any willpower, I'm just lazy or whatever. It's probably more stemming from a psychology standpoint rather than the fact that you actually can't physically do this thing.
Well, by just saying that, you've kind of put yourself in this cycle of I have no willpower, I suck at life,
I'm
shaming my body, I'm going to just continue to do what I did before, which is eat shitty, I'm eating shitty, I have no willpower. I mean, it's just endless cycle of body shaming, body shaming, nutrition shaming, and you can't break out of it until you're able to start changing some habits there.
Well, I love what she said early on in the episode about focusing on, so with changing your behavior and changing your, essentially what she's trying to do is she's trying to change somebody's entire almost lifestyle behavior wise. For some people, giving them all of the pieces at once is not going to work. It's very overwhelming. You got to kind of, and I almost think really with most people, you just kind of look at one domino at a time. Focus on what's in front of you. She made a very good point about focusing on what's in front of you, making that small change, and then tackling the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes big part of what she was saying later on in the episode about how making changes, you need to get out of the cycle of like, this stuff causes you fear and then this shaming, and you've got to just take one small step each time.
Well, I mean, think about a science experiment. And one thing they brought up was knowing how food affects your body or how certain things affects your body. Alex, like you're really in tune with how nutrition affects your body and if you eat certain things, how it makes you feel. I feel like I don't have that much of a pulse on it.
Well, that's fairly recent for you though, right?
Yeah. And I think it's because, you know, you've dialed in your nutrition or you've watched what you eat and you make small changes.
Right.
So in a science experiment, when you set up an experiment, you have a control and then you have a variable and you can only change one variable.
One thing.
Right? You change one thing at a time and then you see how it affects you later. So if you change lots of things all at once and you suddenly feel like shit or you feel really great, you don't know what made you feel like shit or what made you feel great.
Right.
So that's why
made you take a shit.
Or what? I mean, in Alex's case, it's Halo Top ice cream.
It is Halo Top ice cream.
It's a little too much Halo Top ice cream at once.
Well, I mean, according to this, I need to, you know, and she brought up another thing. I like her philosophy on food. I've heard her say she's the anti-diet.
Dietitian.
Yeah. She is not. she is not keen on diet food. She's very much so about eating real food. She talks about on the episode how she eats
specifically made diet food. Yeah. Like you see the 100 calorie Oreos or something like that.
Yeah, the shit that's been so heavily processed to take out the stuff that has calories and then make it palatable again.
Right. So not necessarily food you would eat on a diet, but specifically diet made food.
Right, right. Yeah, thanks for clearing that. She's the anti-diet, I think.
Diet food.
But I think that's a very good philosophy, because if somebody is if you're trying to get somebody that's they think that they're making the right choice by eating this non-food, I think that's a good philosophy. Like, well, here is real food and it has all these benefits, and explaining that. So,
yeah, and she was talking about portion control. Like, even with the example I just said, like, I'm going to compare Oreos to Oreos. So that's still probably not the best choice. But you go look at like the marketing. It's like the small size. You know, the 100 calorie bag. You know, you buy those thinking, well, okay, I'll buy these, so I just get the 100 calories. But what do you do? Because they're just 100 calories. You eat two or three, but next thing you know, you've eaten four bags. You might as well just bought the damn one.
Actually, I want to go back to that, asking you, CTP, when you were talking about how you had, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but like, what are some of the things that you kind of do to like kind of get out of that habit of kind of binge eating?
Man, I think I couldn't tell you. I thought I was, while y'all were talking, after I'd said it, I was like, what did I do? Yeah. Maybe I can give some wisdom here. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it was getting around a group of people who were doing better than mm-hmm. I was, right? So putting myself in situations where, like at that point, I came to Faction, the CrossFit gym, right? Mm-hmm. And I just immersed myself in that world. So I was going to the parties with those people. And it was kind of funny because, you know, you go to a CrossFit party. Not good. But on the whole, the people that I was around now were more, you know, just trying to do better. So you kind of had that. What else could have been happening there?
Well, I think, would you say that you found a distraction? Like,
yeah, that could be it. Well, another thing is then I started getting really into the training.
Right, and
then
that's what I was going to say. That's your distraction.
So the training was a distraction, but you know what? Here's what happens. You start training, you know, because you're just trying to lose weight or you're just whatever, and then you start caring about the training.
Yeah.
And what happens when you start caring about the training? Like, you have to earn that, I think. You have to, like, earn that spot. You're not going to care from day one necessarily. But then once you kind of get a rhythm in training, you say, oh, how can I do this better? Well, mm-hmm. nutrition's part of that.
Right.
I got to dial this in a little bit.
Yeah.
And now that I have a good why, and it's not just, oh, you should eat healthy. Now that I have a good why, like, oh, well, if I remember I went into a class once after this was when I was still fighting this. I'm telling you guys, it was bad. I was like, I would eat, you know, like Pizza Hut had like a $10 box where you get like half of a pizza.
Oh, shit.
You get cinnamon sticks and you would get cheese sticks. Dude, I would pound that whole thing. Not all at once, but within like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like in two separate settings. And I did that once before I went and trained. And, dude, I just remember feeling like complete dick. And I was mm-hmm. like, and I knew I was going to. I wasn't like, I'm going to feel great. Like, but it was that big realization, like, this isn't going to help me.
Right,
you know, and I kind of had to learn the hard way, even though I already knew it. Had to like feel it.
You had to feel it.
Yep.
Right.
And then I had to say, well, I don't want to come in feeling this way, and I want whatever I'm going to eat to make me feel great, so I can do the workout. You know, so it gave me a why. Is the point? It gave me something to like. Okay, now I have a reason to care about what I'm eating more than just like, oh, you shouldn't eat like a fat ass. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a comparison here to binge drinking almost, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't binge drink the night before you go work out on a Saturday morning. I learned that very quickly when I started CrossFit, that I would have to change my lifestyle.
Or smoke cigarettes or anything. Yeah.
Some of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, you change those habits to make that work because you know that there's going to be an output to that input, and that output could be fairly negative.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Leslie actually mentioned that on the show. She explicitly said, like, you got to find your why. You know, like, that's a huge thing too. With anybody, you know, starting a nutrition plan or anything, really, why are you even doing this? Mm-hmm. Because you've got to have something that is going to keep you doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it can't, and from the, at least for me, it's not necessarily like, it's got, for me, it has to be like an intrinsic thing.
I was going to say, intrinsic versus extrinsic.
It needs to be something like that's going to, it's not necessarily an external motivator. It's got to be for me. So
it's not somebody telling you you have to get healthy,
right,
or looking at a picture or something along those lines. Somebody saying like, hey, I've got this great new workout or diet or whatever, yep, and you should follow it because of this, this, and this. It's, I know that I have a health problem.
Yeah.
Or
this is going to make me feel better.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
that's a big one.
That's
too.
A big one too. Yeah.
You don't even know you feel like shit until you start eating, right? And then it's like, then it almost gives you an extra why, like a hidden why you never knew existed. Like, oh, I don't have to, I didn't realize I felt like shit all the time.
Yeah.
Shit was the default.
That's
magical.
Oh my gosh. I was just in Nashville and we ate like shit, man.
You were
like
tired as fuck.
Oh my God. I felt terrible. My stomach hurt like all the time. I mean, of course I ate like amazing food. Like went to this like all you can eat breakfast.
As long as you had a moment with your food while you were eating.
Place called Monell's. Oh yeah. Yeah. You got to have the moment. Yeah. I mean, I felt like shit all the time, but that's the default, and you don't even realize until you actually make a change, a small change, and say, how does this make me feel? Assess, does it make me feel better? Does it make me feel worse? And then you can start, like you said, like Shireen, like you said, taking a very scientific approach to it and seeing, okay, what is it that I need to change, mm-hmm, yeah, to get where I want to be.
You were talking about intrinsic, extrinsic, so I want to ask you, I know, like, Alex, you've been healthy for a while now. We've all been not – I think we're kind of mostly talking, if I could overgeneralize here, like going from, like, you know, bad eating habits to just getting on track. Mm-hmm. Now I want to take it to, we're all pretty on track and then locking it in.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference? So you've been, on track for a while, but now you've recently locked it in. If you don't follow Alex on Instagram, you can see the abs coming out.
Abs on ice.
They just popped out. You just followed 7 weeks, no abs. Bam. There he goes. So what's the motivation there? What kind of got you, what fueled you through that to even continue going now?
I think a lot of it is just that, I definitely, for me, I compete in weightlifting, and this is kind of an external motivator, but not really though, because I have a desire to actually I want to be good in the sport. Like, I want to feel like I accomplished something and I achieved like the highest level I can possibly go to. And, I realized that, okay, I am, 85 kilo normally, and I'm not very lean, and, I could be lighter and still be competitive, and I can be, and this is definitely a 77 weight class is a class that I could probably do better in. So that's more my intrinsic motivation, is like, I'm competitive and I want to do well in the sport that I love doing. So I would say like that's my main motivation. And then also now I feel a lot better. I don't feel as tired because I'm not eating, whatever I want to eat, and I have more energy. Like what Leslie was saying on the show is she was talking about athletes and she helped a lot of athletes, is that with nutrition, it's about the micro and the macro. It's about doing well in the game or the competition or whatever, but also doing well 5 seasons from now, 5 years from now. So that's become way more important to me, is about longevity. Like, I'm getting older. I'm realizing that for me to stay in this and perform as well as I want to perform, I'm going to have to actually pay attention to this shit, mm-hmm, and lock this shit in. So that's kind of more my motivation for doing that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I love that micro and macro approach to
that was,
to time.
That was a huge nugget.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, please go listen to the episode and check that out.
There are so many good things.
For me, like,
now, these motherfuckers should have already listened to it.
Yeah. If you haven't. For me, like, I think about the next competition and how, mm-hmm, it'd be nice to be a little bit lighter, make it a little bit easier on gymnastics. I could move a little bit better, that kind of thing. But I'm definitely trying to eat to perform. I want to perform at my highest level. But I'm also thinking sometime down the road, trying to have a kid.
Yeah.
And I want to dial in those eating habits now. So, because, I mean, hell, hormones can be a number on your body, and I can't always predict everything. But I figure if I can have these habits dialed in now, and I'm putting good things into my body now,
yeah,
during that pregnancy, I could be putting good things in my body then, feeding and nurturing a child, so that, everything past that. I'm thinking macro in the sense of the life that I want to provide mm-hmm. to a kid in the future as well.
Yeah.
Should that happen.
Yeah.
So as a female, what are some of the psychology things that, what's some of the biggest ones y'all run into? Because I know, I feel like if I, maybe it's just my personal experience, but if I'm to look at like the people I've ran into, I feel like I hear more of it from women. Maybe that's because they're more vocal about it. I'm not saying dudes don't. I definitely did. But mm-hmm. what are some of the big ones y'all face?
I mean, for me, it's definitely like the, and there's nothing against the women who have these bodies. Like, I mean, good for you. Like, you're able to achieve it. But, man, the Instagram girls out there with the abs these days, like, holy shit, I don't feel like I could ever achieve that. And it's just, I think it's like my body type. I have a super short torso where my hip bone practically touches my rib cage. I'm never going to have a six pack. Yeah, that's just, that's not going to happen. I don't have a long enough torso.
Well, don't say that.
Yeah.
But you
so it's very,
so seeing that,
it's intimidating. It's intimidating, and it definitely puts you in a position, a place of, man, I could never be like that, so I shouldn't even try. Mm-hmm. You know, it's giving up before you even try. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt about it for the longest time. But it doesn't mean that you can't achieve the best body that.
So you don't feel that way anymore.
I still struggle with it. It's an on and off thing.
There's some self-awareness. There's some awareness around
certainly.
It.
And I think one of the most recent articles that came out from it was a post from the CrossFit Games on Facebook. I mean, there's this girl who's going to the games. You know, I feel like I kind of look like she looks like me. I look like her. She doesn't have these ripped abs, and she posted about it, about having these body image issues for a long time because she didn't have this body. And I, you know, kind of came to the realization that abs aren't necessarily functional. Right. I want to be functional.
Yeah, and seeing your abs doesn't mean, or not seeing your abs doesn't mean you don't have them. Yeah.
Exactly.
You can have very strong abs and just not see.
Yeah. So it's more about, again, like, I'm trying to eat to perform. I'm trying to eat to perform not only in the next competition, but I'm trying to eat to perform in the life that I want to have, you know, 2, 5, 10 years from now.
That's your why. Like, where do abs fit in your why? I mean, why do you want abs? I mean, why? Like, ask yourself, why do you want to look this way? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You've got to find that reason why.
And I think with the difference between men and women, I don't know. I feel like it's always been a little more acceptable for guys to be overweight, like walking around office where I used to work. It just seemed like it was more acceptable. I don't know why, just the way it was,
because guys are judged by money.
I don't think so.
More so than the body. I mean, like, the dad bod was a thing, right? Like, that was a thing where it was like, it's okay to be a little fluffy. And I'm not saying that it's not okay to be fluffy, but you would never say, like, man, give me that mom bod.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I will.
That being said, I'll take that redhead from Mad Men every day of the week.
There you go. Woo!
Christina Hendricks or whatever.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I will agree with you on that point, but I think in our community, in the fitness community, there's a lot of still body shaming on guys' part. I mean, you look at same thing, like Instagram. You got all these dudes like want to have abs, like Rich Froning, and
I feel like there's pressure.
Oh yeah, guys wanted to guys.
Well, that's weird, because if I was gonna have abs, I don't know if I'd pick Rich Froning's abs. I've seen much
or Noah Olsen or whoever's got like just the
no offense,
the fucking eight pack abs or whatever. You know, people, it's kind of fucked up. Like, people body shame. Dude, I got body fucking shamed on Instagram. Some dude said I had a dad bod.
Well, that's funny, though, because here's the thing. I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but I'm going to say it. Anytime we ever have someone hating, you click on their profile. And I'm telling you, this is 9 times out of 10
it's
without
private.
Fail.
Yeah.
No, well, yeah, that, you can't do anything about that, but I'd say 9 times out of 10, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you click on this person's, a hater's profile, it is going to be some motherfucker who looks like he should be on that Jersey Shore show. Like, he's wearing a tap out.
It's complete jabron.
What do you call those tees? The foil
affliction
shirts?
Or
the affliction foil tees with like the tight jeans that have, what do you call them on there?
I don't know. Distressed.
Anyway, and if that's you, no problem. I love you, bro.
Tribal tats.
But I'm just saying, 9 times out of 10 is that guy. And 9 times out of 10, that guy's not the person I'm going to be hanging out with anyway. So.
Yeah.
But it still affects people. And I mean,
when you read it, you got bummed.
I mean, you know, it was – you can't not say it doesn't affect you. It affects everybody, and it may affect – people to a different extent, and some people may be able to easily brush it off before, like, more than others, but it does affect people.
What do you think that motherfucker motivated you to step your shit up?
I mean, I would say maybe a little bit, but I'm not going to give him too much credit for that. But the thing is that that you gotta stop. That shit's gotta fucking stop. Like, don't fucking go on social media and just sit there and like, you don't know what the hell is going on in that person's life. You don't know what they may be dealing with. They may have an eating disorder. You don't fucking know. So you don't have a place to sit there and pass your judgment on them. And that's all I'm gonna say about that.
I mean, that is what Leslie said in the show. Yeah. Everybody's different. There's no one size fits all. It could be hormonal. It could be psychological. It could be mental. It could be anything. It could be anything that could cause this. And that's why you have to find what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, shit. I mean, you brought up you saw the picture of the abs and all that. Like, I didn't start training until I was like 23 and a half, 24, right? Like, I'm talking from literally people say from couch to whatever. Like, I went from the couch to finally starting to do anything. And, where was I going with that? Oh, but so I was 227, and I was like a gross 227, like big gut, big man boobs, almost triple chin. And then I was like, okay, get my shit together. And it was like my 100th try trying to get my shit together. So for people out there, like, if you are on your 100th try, like, fucking keep it going. You never know what could happen. Like, maybe 101. Anyway, I got down to 164 from 227, worked my way down. I fucking still had a beer gut. Still do. I'm like, God damn, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
So, I mean, where was I going with that? Oh, I was like, that's just not just a chick thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you were saying, I think it's dudes as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just all still boils down to, you know, just having your reasons why. And, you know, if you're struggling with nutrition, you've been struggling, you know, maybe, you know, it may be some time to like seek out somebody to like help you with it. Like, you know, I think people are afraid because there's so much negative stigma about, you know, being overweight and, you know, even a stigma about like mental health. So I just reach out. I have to say, just try to reach out to somebody and get help.
I will say anytime I've ever had like massive success nutrition wise, it's because I got obsessed as fuck with it. Mm-hmm. Like CT Fletcher will say, you got to be obsessed. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, for real, like you got to like that has to consume your mind for a period of time. You got to want to watch every fucking video you can, read every article you can, go buy all buy your Tupperwares, buy everything you need to do to get this going. You need to be obsessed with it for a little while.
I think that's good for a little while.
You got to get you jump started. It can't just be, and I don't mean obsessing over like the details, but obsessing over the fact that you want to improve.
Yeah. I mean, wanting to improve, but I definitely think that, it's good to do that for a little while, but you've got to maybe take a break or reassess or you know, people. One of the things that Leslie was saying also is that people spend a lot of time on diets, and that can lead to a lot of problems. Like, people are constantly on this diet, constantly on diet, constantly dieting, and that can mentally take a toll more than anything. And you know, I had an episode with a binge eating too, and it's because I was on this diet for like fucking 6 months, and it was terrible, and it was kind of scary. But I think yes, focusing and being
to get the party started,
I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Don't just be half-assed. I kind of want to you know, change, make this change. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of buying Tupperwares, the other part of this episode was talking with Brandy.
Yeah.
And I liked her food prep instruction.
Oh yeah, I got
that.
A lot of tips from that shit.
I didn't know that you could bring back life to cook meat by just adding a little water.
Yeah, because
you know
when you cook meat, it gets all fucking dry and crusty and shit like that, especially like pulled pork.
Yeah. Especially pulled pork.
Yeah, you just throw it on a skillet and put some water and let that shit breathe back into life.
Yeah, if you're ever in Memphis, definitely come to Bedrock because that food's the shit. Yeah. We all eat there.
Yeah. What are some other things that you picked up? There was a couple of things about food prepping.
I'd like to say I'm the one that taught her how to use the stick blender. That changed her life.
Mayo.
Changed her life, and it will change yours if you make mayo.
Yeah. What was that term that she was using?
Mise en place.
And so, what does that mean?
So it's in the restaurant industry. It means everything in its place. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it means that everything is in a place that is accessible during your food preparation or your cooking.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to find your tools, having them out, especially if you've bought all your groceries and you've brought them home and you're ready to cook, get all of the stuff out that you need to cook with before you start cooking. Because the thing that can add the most time to your food preparation is just, like, finding all the
shit.
Finding the shit that you need to – if you're using a crock pot, get the crock pot. If you're using a skillet, get the skillet and the tools and the spices and everything out so it's right there in front of you. Don't go back to the cupboard to get what you need, leaving something on the stove to overcook or something like that.
Right.
Like, have everything out and organized and ready.
Yeah.
I mean –
nothing's worse than fucking having diarrhea and your toilet paper ain't mise en place.
That is
funny story. When we were in Austin, we were at the public bathrooms at the fucking Paleo Effects. Me and McGee both went in. I went to take a pee. I guess he went in to take a dump.
McGee always has to take a dump.
So he, first of all, there's like eight stalls, right? And this motherfucker, and all of them were empty. And this dude chose to take a dump in the first one. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but. For me, I think that's wrong. I think you go.
I never choose the first one.
Yeah, you never choose, right? I don't know why. I can't tell you why. It's just you don't choose the first one. Anyway, so this dude chooses the first one, and that's where he went wrong. So what happens is I'm done peeing. I'm washing my hands. I see McGee come, and I'm like, oh, he's and now I'm at the blow dryer to dry my hands off, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. He's done. He's coming. Blow. And then I walk out, and I'm waiting around with who was waiting on us. And we're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm like, well, shit, he was right behind me to blow dry his hands. What the fuck? And it took him about another, like, 10 minutes, I'd say. I don't know if you were out there waiting with us, but come find out. He comes out 10 minutes later. He was not going to blow dry his hands. There was no toilet paper in there. Everything was not mise en place. There was no toilet paper in there, so he was coming to see if there was paper towels. But no, it was a blow dryer. So So he went and checked another one, and there was no toilet paper. So, yeah, I don't remember how this all panned out. But
probably had to use the socks, man.
I don't remember what happened.
Eight stalls and no toilet paper?
Nah, this dude. Well, I mean,
it was like a big event.
A big event then.
Shit
is right.
So the lesson of that story is
mise en place.
Have your toilet paper.
Mise en place.
So you've gotten really good at food prep.
Mise en place.
Yeah, what's Alex's the secret world of Alex Macros top three meal prep tips?
I would say Brandy covered a lot of them. I actually
give them us.
Well, okay. So the one thing that she covered that I would also suggest and I do is if you buy vegetables or anything like that, come home and cut it up, like, right there. Like, don't put it in the refrigerator. Don't wait around to, like, get it because you'll forget.
Yep.
And they'll go bad.
A week later, you don't want that soggy-ass zucchini.
Exactly. No. What I used to do, and I still do, is I'll cut them all up and I'll roast them. Or I buy these Ziploc steam bags. And you basically, you put the vegetables in these steam bags. And you put a little water in it, you throw it in the mic, and then they get steamed.
The mic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get steamed up, and you just have these, like, fresh steamed vegetables at your disposal.
I think every time that I've ever taken my veggies and put them into the drawer, they've always molded.
Yeah,
every single time.
You don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because when you're about to make a meal, the last thing you want to do is, especially if you're busy, like most people are, the last thing you want to do is have to clean up.
Yeah.
Or have to cut and do all that stuff. You're
right.
Like, I just want to cook it and go. So you said the steam bags. I see you do that a lot. And then also you could just buy some of that shit. Now you're starting to see it.
If you have
a lot of the grocery stores, pre-cut vegetables.
You're
going to pay a premium.
Right. If you have more of the disposable income, that's definitely a way to go. I've seen zucchini noodles at Whole Foods. Like, they've spiralized the zucchini for you so that you can just buy the noodles. You don't have to do that yourself if you really want to. But yeah, they do have the pre-cut peppers.
I heard they use an organic spiralizer too.
I mean, they should. It's Whole Foods.
Yeah. Any of the pre-cut stuff because that shit the prepping time takes a lot of fucking time. Like the cutting, not just preparing the food, but the actual cutting it up and getting it ready to cook.
I'm going to give a bonus pro tip. Listen to the fucking podcast while you're doing that shit. Throw on some shrimp.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah.
I will say one rookie mistake that I've made more times than I care to think about is doing my grocery shopping too late at night. So I'll do it like later in the evening. I get home. I don't want to do the food prep anymore. I'm like, I'll just do it tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, you may
tomorrow
as well just throw
turns into Thursday.
You may as well just throw all that food away. Yeah. Like, do your grocery shopping first thing in the morning, Sunday morning, if your food prep day is Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to eat clean, do not go to the fucking grocery store high as a kite.
Don't go hungry. Do not go hungry. Thomas Cox even said that. Do not go to the grocery store if you're hungry, because you will buy all the shit that you probably don't want to eat that week.
What's another pro tip?
I would say another one is just, I mean, like what she said, like par cook. So,
partially cook
meats. Like, you want to cook all your meats up, but if you're making like a stew, you don't have to put all that stuff together. You can just cook the meat, throw the meat in there, do it later. Like, just cook the things that you know you're going to cook and just cook them ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And especially like, you can always make some different types of dishes out of them. Like, if you make ground beef, you can make tacos, you can make whatever. Like, you can do all that stuff. Just cook the meat up while you got it out.
Yep. Pro tip number 3.
I don't know if I have another
Shireen?
One.
Shireen? I got one. Something I just recently did. I've done it before, but now I kind of stepped my game up. Yeah, I showed y'all when y'all came here. Is buying nice Tupperware and lots of it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the problem I ran into is I had Tupperware. I've known the trick. I've known the Tupperware trick. But a shitty Tupperware, that kind that, like, you know, you use it once and it gets stained on the side, and you put it in the washing machine, it's never going to come off.
Orange,
no matter,
stain.
Yeah, that stain. It's like, not that matters. But right. Anyway, but it's that cheap shit that, like, the top after like three tries won't go on all the way anymore.
Right.
So do yourself a favor. Buy the nice, fancier shit. And buy a lot of it. Buy more than you probably think you need. Mm-hmm. And this way there's never like, oh, it's dirty. Or, you know, don't give yourself any excuses. So that's something I did. And then the other thing I did after watching McGee was I bought a big cooler, like a cooler case. Not like a
cooler bag.
Yeah, cooler bag. A big size one and two little size ones. So this way I have no excuse not to take my food with me, because I started seeing that was becoming a thing. Like, well, I could do it here at the house, but – you know, okay, I got to take, well, I'm going to put this in my car, it's going to get hot, or what if I don't go to somewhere that has a fridge, like, then I got to, you know, so it gave me the chance to have an excuse not to take my food, so just go ahead and invest in that stuff, and then the funny thing, too, is by having that stuff and paid good money for
it, you're going
to
do it.
You feel more inclined to, like, well, I'm not going to just have this shit sitting here, I'm going to stick to it, so.
Yeah.
I love having that good Tupperware. Because I'm so anal retentive about how my Tupperware cabinet looks. Like, if you've ever been to my house, my Tupperware is perfectly put away. Perfectly put away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that if you have mismatched Tupperware. You can't. You got to.
Oh, mismatched Tupperware having ass.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, no, taking the food with you is – I mean, you see me. I bring my food. But, you know, I'm kind of a cheap ass, and I use the little – plastic Kroger bags, yeah, but
yeah. Well, hey, we're gonna have to wrap this up because I gotta go fucking train.
Oh yeah,
deet, drop everything and train.
I need to take a poop, actually.
Sweet. Well,
you better have that mise en place toilet paper in there.
Hey, you know, I got them adult baby wipes, son. I ain't trying to wipe my butt with this, that old 1992 toilet paper shit.
John Wayne toilet paper.
Yeah, get out of here.
It's got a corn cob
in
there.
So we'll give some more. We are about to launch the Shrug Strength Challenge, something all three of us and plus McElroy.
It's going to be awesome.
Kurt, McGee, we've kind of our baby project here that we've been doing for the past 5 months or so.
So excited.
We're going to be launching that, and Alex is putting together kind of, you know, like I said, go follow him on Instagram. He's done all this stuff. He has all these tips and stuff. So is Kurt. I'm getting into it. So is McGee. We've all been doing it, and we're going to put together a little guide on how we eat. That's going to be a part of our Shrug Strength Challenge. So this program is specifically for people who want to get strong while maintaining or improving their conditioning. And kind of our big goals are to increase your squat by 50 pounds and to improve your Helen time by 3 minutes. We got some other goals in there too, kind of like mobility and movement type goals, but those are the big two. So we'll be launching that here soon. Go to strugstrengthchallenge.com for any info on that. The point I was going to make there, though, is that we're going to have nutrition built in. So if you kind of see what we've been doing and you want more stuff, I'm sure we're going to kind of – we'll be in the Facebook group that goes with that program too, giving advice. So we'd love to have you there. Anything I'm forgetting that y'all want to mention?
No.
as always, another great episode by Chris and Charlotte. Chris, mm-hmm. Chris fucking was born to do that job, and he crushed it, and I'm so glad we have those to have. It was great to see him on the show again. Hearing his laugh is so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, it's trippy, and it's just awesome that we have that stuff. And Charlotte did a great job editing, as always. So any other thoughts? Concerns, questions, comments?
Thanks, Shireen, for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's fun. All right.
We got to get you on the show more.
You might be in the Stroke Strength Challenge coaching women.
That's right.
Oh, what if dudes want to be coached by you?
They can sign up for that, too.
No dick pics. She's a married woman.
Yep.
No DMs.
Taken.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next time. We got one more episode of Full Depth coming that I know of, which is going to be with Coach Bergner. That shit is going to tear your butthole open. It's going to be so good. We'll see you guys later. Peace.